Our lesson is going to come from Psalms 131. Psalms 131. Some of you will be glad to know it's one of the shortest psalms in the Bible, with only three verses. And you might think, well, this will be about 5 minutes. But oh, how wrong you would be. Three verses. It is one of the shortest psalms, but it's also one of the most inspiring psalms. It's one of the most touching psalms, one of the most emotional psalms that we have recorded for us. And what's so wonderful about it is because this psalm is really an expression of what a childlike faith is. When the Bible talks about, like Jesus in Matthew 18:3 says, "Unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom." You know, what was he talking about? Well, this psalm helps answer that question. Because this psalm tells us what it means to have a childlike faith. A childlike faith. And so we see three characteristics or qualities or attributes of a childlike faith. What it means to trust God. Number one is found in the very first verse. This is considered to be, at least traditionally, a psalm of David. It says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too difficult for me." So what's the first quality or attribute of a childlike faith for someone to have this spirit, this attitude that Jesus tells us about there in Matthew 18. The first thing is that the person must be humble. Must be humble. It says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty." Solomon wrote over in Proverbs, or in the book of Proverbs that's attributed to him, most of the Proverbs, in Proverbs 30, notice verses 12 and 13. Proverbs 30, verses 12 and 13 says, "There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up." So for someone to come to Christ, come to God with the right attitude, with a childlike faith, means they have to get rid of every semblance of pride and arrogance and haughtiness, like the writer puts it here. Has to get rid of all of that concept of being self-righteous. Otherwise, that person cannot come to Christ. It has to be removed. And what does that have to do with a childlike faith? Well, think about it. What does the person that is arrogant and proud and self-righteous, what does that person trust in? Himself. That's why Jesus said you can't have that attitude and come to Him. Pride has to be eliminated. Self-righteousness, arrogance, conceit, haughtiness, all of that has to be gone in the person's life. Notice Jesus even gave a psalm or a proverb, a parable about this in Luke 18. Please read with me Luke 18, verse 9. Jesus was constantly talking to the Pharisees about their main problem of being self-righteous. Notice Luke 18, verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9 says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So he gives this parable for that reason. That's the point of this parable. Because there were some people who Jesus was talking to who were self-righteous, who thought they could in some way earn God's approval and favor because they were so much better than everybody else. They were self-righteous. They trusted in themselves. So he says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus said he told that parable to point out that there were some people who trusted in themselves for their salvation, like the Pharisee. The Pharisee said, God, you have to listen to me. Remember, it was about praying and going to the temple? The Pharisee said, God, you have to listen to me. You have to. Because, look, I pay these tithes and I fast and I do these things, so therefore, I'm a righteous person. Therefore, you have to listen to me, God. Whereas the tax collector knew he was not righteous, knew he was not self-righteous anyway, knew he didn't deserve for God to listen to him, so he just beat his breast, hung his head down, and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So for someone to have a childlike faith, that person has to get rid of all that self-righteous, God owes me something, I earned it type of mentality. Otherwise, it simply won't work. So the one who trusts in God sets his eyes on things above, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Sets his eyes on things above. Is not overly concerned with acquiring things, wealth, a name, power, fame. But what does he do then? Well, he trusts in God to supply him. Isn't that what a child does? A child trusts his parents to supply whatever he needs. Matthew 6, 33. We mentioned that this morning. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So a childlike faith means that you trust God to supply those things. You don't deserve them. You didn't earn them in any way. But you go to Him because He's your Father and ask for them. And because you trust in Him, you know He's going to do what's right. He's going to do what's best. Regardless of what you ask for, He's going to give you what's best. That's the first characteristic of a childlike faith. Here's the second. Notice now verse 2 of Psalms 131. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Still have the idea of a small child. Here one that is just weaned from his mother. The King James has behaved there. The New King James has calmed. The idea is there's no internal strife. There's no turmoil. What does the weaned child know? The weaned child knows that his mother is going to take care of him. That's what the weaned child knows. The idea there, he's right there with his mother. The child is right there near the mother, knows that the mother cares for him, and he trusts in his mother again to take care of him. To take care of him. So therefore, he's at peace. That's the idea. He's at peace. I'm calm. I'm quieted. I'm tranquil, or I feel tranquil inside. That's why. And how does that happen, though? Well, you have to keep your mind focused on God. Just like the small child has to keep focused on the mother, we have to keep focused on Jehovah. Notice Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, Isaiah says, you will keep him in perfect peace. Who is that? Whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. For in Jehovah, some translations have. Who's going to have perfect peace, complete and total peace? The one who keeps his eyes focused on God. He's going to have tranquility. He's going to have peace. He's going to have a calmed soul. He's going to have a trouble or an untroubled spirit. Psalms 107, just a few pages back in your Bible. Notice verse 28. Psalms 107, verse 28. The psalmist writes, "Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so He guides them to their desired haven." They cry out to the Lord in their trouble. So when we have trouble, if we're going to have a childlike faith and trust, then we cry out to the Lord. That's the kind of attitude we're to have. We call out to God because He's there. And lastly, verse 3 says, "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." The one who trusts in the Lord is forever hopeful. Forever hopeful. Isn't that one of the characteristics of being young? You're filled with hope all the time. Hope of a brighter future, a good future, things to come that are going to be good. Sometimes as you get older, you get a little more jaded about those things. But as a young person, this idea of a childlike faith and trust, you are forever filled with hope. Now, this world constantly disappoints. But he says here, your hope is to be where? In the Lord. That's the only place your hope will never be disappointed, is if it's in the Lord. Notice with me, please read Psalms 130, just back one psalm. Notice verse 7 and 8. Psalms 130, verse 7 and 8. "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Hoping in the Lord. Why should we? Because the Lord is merciful. This world isn't very merciful at times, but the Lord is filled with mercy. So the child of God can continually and constantly and regularly and from now and forever, the psalmist says, trust in the Lord. Because He's always there to give mercy. A childlike faith. The spirit Jesus says we have to have, we need to be humble. We have to get rid of haughtiness and arrogance and pride and self-righteousness. Number two, we need to be calm and tranquil. Get rid of strife and turmoil by trusting in Jehovah. And then finally, we need to constantly be filled with hope. Not because of world circumstances, not because of our own circumstances, but because God is merciful. It's hard to believe that when we read Matthew 18:3, "Except you be converted and become as little children," that we can actually go back 1,500 years, 2,000 years to the time of David and read about what a childlike faith is. It shows that the Bible is authored by one person and one person alone. Trust. It's a key to having that inheritance. Our last verse comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, a very familiar one, I'm sure, to all of you. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, verses 3 and 4, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again." We've been born again, that's the idea of being begotten, "to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Our hope is a living hope, and it's because Christ is alive. Christ isn't dead. His body's not in Palestine somewhere. He's alive. So we have a living hope because He was raised from the dead. So when we come to God, we have to believe that Jesus not only died on the cross, but that He was raised from the dead. Being raised from the dead, just as important as His death on the cross. And so our invitation this afternoon is, if you would like to experience that new birth by being born again through water and the Spirit, or by asking for the prayers of the congregation, whatever your need, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.